Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, let's get into it today. ESPN 1000's Waddle and Sylvie show.
What are we getting into? Trouble?
Always. Always. You have plenty of room for you to get in trouble as well. I mean, you, the listener. 312-332-3776. Always have a voice on this show, on this radio station. So this is, I went out with Dan Weider. You know, he's got his own YouTube channel.
Does he really?
Yeah, he's got his own.
What'd you do on that thing?
He interviews people. Well, I mean, it's more, you know, just like when Dan comes on, and just like any of our, like Wilbon's on later, just like any people who come on our show, it's not really a Q&A.
Right.
It's more of a, it's a discussion.
Right.
So Dan and I were talking football.
It's a powwow.
Yeah. And I don't think he knew where I was going, which is sort of par for the course.
Yeah, welcome, most Dan. People that, welcome, Dan. Welcome to the party.
Whenever I kind of take people down a road. And what's your point, Sylvie? Yeah. What's your point? But
and then and you let everyone know you have a puke fetish and things like that.
Not a fetish. I learned that.
That's what you said.
I know. Years ago. It was a slip of the tongue.
Right. Phobia.
Phobia is the right. Yeah. I don't know why. The other day, though, I was right with my son as he was going number two, and I was cool with that, you know? Need to wipe? I'll wipe you. Here I am. I'm a dad.
What does that have to do with having a puke phobia?
Because, like, the puke freaks me out, but the poop I don't care about. We talked about this yesterday.
Both commodities are coming out of your son, so you should have an equal responsibility and desire to clean up whatever end it's coming out of.
You guys would have been so proud of me as someone who hates blood and needles. My wife was doing some baking this weekend and sliced her finger deep. Like, we almost went and had to get it stitched if it wouldn't have stopped bleeding. But I was in there, jumping in.
Yeah.
Let's get this thing fixed.
See, the hero in you.
Look at you.
She was like, you're going to pass out. I was like, no, I'm not. We got this.
Because it's her blood, not yours.
Stop talking to me, because if I start thinking about passing out, I'm going to pass out.
Right.
So I'm here to help. Let's
do this.
Mind over matter.
What'd you do?
I had to get like
Rampart, Squad 51, Squad 51.
I'm like, put it over your head and like all that, you know, like put it over your head. Because it was her finger, her index finger. It was like, put it over your head. I had to get one of those, like, what are those things called? The butterfly bandages that like hold the two.
You take your shirt off and wrap it around her finger?
No. It was
put on some soft music and turn the lights down.
We used like half a roll of paper towels. This thing was bleeding. Like, it was a lot of blood.
That's what super glue is for. You put it right there in the wound and you squeeze it together and it stays.
That's if she's got to get back out there for third down, Waddle. She's not doing that. My wife's not doing that.
Bring me the super glue. I got to get these muffins back in the oven. I mean, seriously, they make...
Good for you. That's a good update to you.
But Adam, they do make, I believe... I mean, it's called glue.
Yes,
like,
they
do. So instead of going to the hospital and getting yourself sewn up, and again, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not telling you.
It's like the new skin, right?
But we had a couple
real super glue.
Yeah. We had a little first aid kit, and we used a couple of those butterfly bandages that just hold it together. It was good.
Good for you. That's
Look
a good update.
You know what?
So
you know what
I
that
can
is?
Do it,
so
Sylvie,
I can't kick
if
that
I can
in
do
with
it,
you.
Sylvie, you can do it.
That is a step in the right direction for you. Good work.
It's an odd thing, I admit it. The one bothers me, the other doesn't in the least. But anyway.
Okay.
So, and this will lead us sort of into Deshaun Watson. Besides
puke or poop will lead us into Deshaun Watson?
No, my quiz for you guys.
Oh, okay.
All right, take the four teams out of the AFC and NFC championship game, okay?
Uh-huh.
So out of this equation... is Andy Reid and the Chiefs, the Packers.
Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Gunkust, what's his name again? I always get it wrong. It's a weird name up there in Green Bay.
I think you get it.
Brian Gunkust?
Gunkust, I think.
Gunkust?
I think you got it close, but now I don't want to attempt it because I don't want to sound foolish like you just did.
All right, so now we have 28 teams left, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Out of the 28 teams, tell me guys who run those teams, either coach or front office, could be any one of them.
Yeah.
Who are the smartest football people left?
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick. Does Bill Belichick need a quarterback?
Yes.
Who else? Smartest NFL people running teams?
Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh.
Do they need a quarterback?
I would argue that they should start looking for one.
Yes. I think the answer is yes.
Yeah.
I think the Big Ben injuries, the downfall at the end of the year, losing all those games, an easy out.
The New Orleans Saints and Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton fall into your camp.
Do they need a quarterback?
Yes, they do, unless they think that Jameis Winston or what's-his-face, the Taysom Hill guy, is going to answer.
Well, we're right. They need a quarterback. Who else? Give me some of your other favorites.
Seattle Seahawks and Pete Carroll and John Schneider.
I think they're good.
They don't know. But we were on a roll
Sean McVay, a little. Sean McVay and Jared Goff.
Well, they may. I mean, you know, Black and I can argue about that.
Let's fight. Let's go.
I would look to upgrade that position.
Who's your favorite play caller in the NFL?
San Francisco. Yes.
Kyle Shanahan. Do they need a quarterback, probably?
That's the perfect spot for Deshaun Watson in my mind.
Okay, so this isn't even a Deshaun Watson discussion for those tweeting me. Give it up, Sylvie. The Watson thing's never going to happen. Move on, Sylvie.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, that's what they tweet. That's what the tweet sounds like in my ears when I read it.
It's the font that they use.
Yes.
It conveys that sound.
What
yeah.
font is that?
Comic Sans.
Okay.
So this is sort of what I can't. This is the, and I tweeted this out. I had an epiphany this morning. I had a scare the blank out of me football epiphany, as if I needed to be scared even more about my favorite football
team. I thought when I read your tweet, it was going to be like something, one of your kids fell off the, you know, the railing or something. You're telling me what scared the poo out of you was a football thought?
It was a football epiphany, okay. Yes. About my, look, I don't want to be in hell as a football fan of the Bears forever. I don't want to go another however long I have on this earth. It used to be, hey, will the Cubs ever win in my lifetime? And there was a period of my time that I believed they would not. They delivered. Now I sit here and I say to myself, will I ever get that quarterback? As I watched Aaron Rodgers, I tweeted one day. He made like some sick throw to one of those hodgepodge number two wide receivers. Mm-hmm. I think it was Lazard on the deep ball.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
someday.
One day. Maybe one day. And people knew what I was inferring. So here's the point of all this as I sort of wrap this into our discussion. Not only do we not have faith in our Bears in the direction in which they're going, where it starts at the top in Ted Phillips, and we don't know if the coach can coach offense and what he was signed to do, and we don't know if the general manager can build the offensive line and find a quarterback after he said he would try to find one every single year in the draft. Not only do the Jets need a quarterback, maybe, and do the Jaguars need a quarterback, definitely, and all these other guys, maybe Atlanta.
Colts.
Yeah. And there's another name, Chris Ballard, smart guy.
Yeah.
He's gotten everything. People like to say, well, what's Chris Ballard done? And I say, I'd challenge any general manager to have your franchise quarterback retire pretty much the moment you get the job and then try to fix it immediately. The Bears have been chasing this for 100 years.
Well, remember, too, like I think his first two first-round draft picks have been not all pro or pro bowlers, but all pro, right?
Right. Built the lines.
And then Darius Leonard, the linebacker.
Right. Do you think they'd be different if Andrew Luck was still there?
Yeah, I do.
So the point of all this is everyone's looking for a quarterback. Not only the crap teams who are drafting at the top, but now a team like the Bears, who in my lifetime has never had one of the best quarterbacks ever. They've never had a 4,000-yard rusher. Now they're competing with Bill Belichick, Sean Payton, Kevin Colbert in the Steelers, Kyle Shanahan in the 49ers, Chris Ballard in the Indianapolis Colts. A lot of good teams as well. So my point is, how are they going to get it right in this situation? And why would anyone with those vacancies on the free agent market sign up with the Bears?
Well, that's a very good nightmare. I mean, it's a bad nightmare, but in terms of proving your point, it's a good illustration of why this is going to be harder than you think. I don't believe the Bears have the currency, the capital, to get into the Deshaun Watson trade conversation and have a really legitimate chance. Now, like, you have to make the call. I'm not telling you that would prevent them from making that call, but because of all the reasons you just mentioned, like, look at I believe the Patriots, A, have a ton of cap space, and they do have a ton of draft picks. They're drafting higher than the Bears are. San Francisco's drafting higher than where the Bears are, and they've got a more complete team. I mean, it's, yes, you lay out some, for the reasons you mentioned and many others, I think it's highly unlikely that the path to finding our quarterback will be somehow, some way, through Houston. And by the way,
this isn't just Houston. This is sort of how are they going to fix the quarterback when, A, I don't believe in the general manager to fix it, and, B, you have a lot of good teams who need the same thing that you need?
Yeah, I mean, some teams are going to go a different route. Like, I would expect San Francisco to make a trade for one of the, whether it's Deshaun Watson or it's Matthew Stafford or it's Matt Ryan. I would say that is, for them, their likely resolution to their quarterback situation is via a trade. I don't know that the Bears' solution is that, because I think the 49ers are much more equipped to win now than the Bears.
I'm just saying there are more buyers, whether they be traders, whether they be signers, or whether they be drafters.
Yeah.
Not only do you have all these teams who are stinky, and they're drafting above you who may need a quarterback, the Falcons, the Jets, the Jaguars, whoever, but now you've got good teams with smart people.
Colts.
Who are also, it's like people said to me, Sylvie, why would you ever look for a general manager when all these teams have had to step up on you? That's going to be the quarterback landscape. Mm-hmm. You have a situation where you have maybe 10 teams looking for a new quarterback altogether, and many of these teams have smarter people than we do. And so where are we as far as being in any sort of a quarterback line with getting dibs?
No, it's a great point. Whether it's in the draft, it's free agency, or it's through a trade, and we have, by we, I mean the Bears, have visited every outlet like that, and they have swung and missed in each given situation. But like you said, if you go over the list, the Patriots are looking for a quarterback, the Colts are, the Jags are, I mean, probably the Broncos may still be in the market for one.
There's an right. And like, so think about this, Waddle.
The Saints.
They haven't landed a quarterback. Normally these teams, we could say, hey, we don't have to worry looking for a quarterback with New England because they got Brady. We don't have to worry about competing with New Orleans because they've got Breeze. Yeah. They're already set. We don't have to worry about Pittsburgh competing with us for a quarterback because they've got Big Ben. You know, and now all of a sudden, we have good teams run by smart people who are better at their jobs than our guys in the same spot that we're in.
I think you just laid the foundation for the return of 10 in 2021.
Trubisky, is that what you're telling me?
I think you just laid
you're
the
foundation. You're not.
I think you you're just, what you did was just laid out the foundation for Ryan Pace to convince everyone up in Lake Forest to run it back for one more year.
The devil that you know, right? Isn't that the saying?
Yes.
The devil that you know?
Yes.
312-332-3776. So I got out of the house for first time today. Yeah. I was running to a couple of appointments, and this is what flashed across me as I was daydreaming while driving. I was focused on the road, too. But I said to myself, oh, crap.
We're not the only team in the NFL looking for a new quarterback.
Right. Like, not just with Watson. Okay, so if you want to say, Sylvie, they're not getting Watson either. He's not approving a trade. Nor do we have enough to get him. So my question is, with all these good teams looking for a quarterback, how are the Bears going to answer this question? And then we'll get to the Watson point. I have a poll question out there brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers on, do you believe Deshaun Watson would approve? Let's say, for some reason, because Houston's crazy to begin with, same team to trade Hopkins, same trade tame to anger Watson. Let's say they came to an agreement with Ryan Pace. He's got a no-trade clause. Would he want to come here? Would he approve it? It's a really close race. 332-3776. I'll give you all the details coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Having everlasting quarterback discussion here in Chicago.
Yeah!
Some playoff preview coming up as well.
Now, I was just joking earlier about you laying the groundwork for 10 to come back. And nothing would shock me with this team. But to me, that would speak, as I said the other day, that would speak to the continued dysfunction. Because I did, and I said to you, the only thing that I truly, truly felt strong about was that if Matt was coming back, Mitch was not. Or if Mitch was coming back, Matt was not. I felt strongly that the two of them wouldn't come back together. And I thought the reasons were self-explanatory based on what you saw against Green Bay and against the New Orleans Saints. And not necessarily because of the ineptitude of the offense in terms of scoring points and being a legitimate threat to upper echelon teams. But the offense that Matt had installed for those games against better teams, it was a total display of distrust in your quarterback. Why would you run it back for a fifth year where the coach, who's, this would be his fourth year, right? For a fourth year where you know the coach doesn't trust the quarterback, why would you run it back again? That's yeah. why I said the other day that the one thing I felt most strongly about was that they will break and move on and wish Mitch well and hope for the best in another environment. So I was just kind of circling back to that concept. I don't believe that he will be back, but I think you made a very good case indirectly. I don't think you were.
That wasn't my point.
Right,
that
you weren't an advocate for
my
it.
My point is, oh
right,
boy.
Right, but my point was, listening to your very good analysis there was, what if they're thinking the same thing up at Hallis Hall, up at the Double H, and they're saying to themselves one more time?
Like, it's easy to make the postseason at 8-8 when there's a seventh spot, but is it easy to get a quarterback if you're, like, seventh in line?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Especially with some of these good decision makers who need quarterbacks.
So to answer your question, where are they going to get that guy?
I don't know.
There are a lot of people still in this city that believe that guy was on their roster this year. And
yeah,
I'm not trying to stir it up for the sake of stirring it up on a Wednesday. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just like...
You want to get back on the Mitch roller coaster. Is that what you're saying?
Hell no.
You always say you don't go. You brought it up, though. You're the one saying you're going on that Mitch roller coaster again.
I'm not engaged. I'm the same one, though, that I'm just keeping everybody aware of what potentially is possible.
People in the Twitch chat are saying, and it's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Waddle's inside the First Midwest Bank studio. You can watch that, all the local shows. Make sure you download our ESPN Chicago app as well. Take it wherever you go, live or on-demand podcasts. And people are saying, look, Sylvie, you got to face it. It's Nick Foles. Nick Foles is going to be your quarterback
next year. I agree with that.
That's what some people believe.
I agree with that.
They can run that back as him as the starter?
Listen, if you're going to distill it, we're going to distill it and get all the impurities out of it. That's the thing. Like, again, don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating for it. But if you ask me what's the most likely thing to happen is that they're up at Hallis Hall right now convincing themselves. And you heard Matt talk about it as well a little bit. About how things may have been different for Nick if he had had the full offseason, if he had been acclimated with his teammates and the training camp had existed. He obviously, in his stretch, they played the teams that were the better teams in the league this year. Like, he didn't get any breaks with regard to who they faced. They faced the Rams, the Saints, the Titans defense, not great. The Vikings defense, not great. But the Packers is good. He went through a stretch. The Bucs was good. Where the majority of the defenses he did play against were better defenses that were top half of the league defenses. Their offensive line was a complete mess. Their ability to run the ball in the last four or five games was something that they didn't have the capacity to do during that stretch against those better teams. Again, not my sales pitch, but what they're going to sell themselves. We've got Nick under control, under contract. He's going to have a full off season. The offensive line's going to be built up. We're going to get our running game going for him. There was no such thing as a running game when Nick was there. And we're going to run it back with Nick because it makes the most sense.
This is like when I was a kid. My mom would take me to Wrigley Field, and my Cubs stunk. And they were playing like your Reds, who were really good.
Yeah.
Some of the Dodgers would come to town. They were really good. And my hope was that the flags would be going straight out, that the wind would be at their back, that the wind would be blowing out and helping balls get into the bleachers to help my Cubs. So that's what you're telling me. We're hoping that the wind will be at Nick Foles' back this year, and that's the reason to believe in
him. That's not what I'm telling. I'm just telling, like, listen, there's a difference between what I would advise them to do, and they have no interest in taking my advice, and I wouldn't give it to them unsolicited, and what they will do. Like, you tell me. You read the room, as my wife likes to say. How can you not read the room? Read the room, and you tell me. You just went through the first segment of our show and gave us a great analysis on the quest for a quarterback and why it may be climbing up the face of a 10,000-foot mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So with that as the backdrop, how in the world could you bristle at the concept that what they may choose to do is what I just described to you?
Yeah. Well, 3-3-2. What's that?
The reason I bristle at it, Waddle, is because that's the least likely to keep them employed. Like, you're looking
at
a good point. You're looking at the that Ryan Pace is going. Who knows how long their contracts are? Is it a year? 2 years? 10 years? 15
well, we
years?
We know Matt's is 2 years.
Okay, Matt's 2 years left. Okay, so I look for them to do what's going to keep them employed the longest, and to me, that is taking another big swing at a young quarterback and hoping that that works. So trading up from 20. Exactly. You need time. So that gives them, that starts the new clock. If you trade up and get a quarterback and you start that guy, maybe he doesn't start immediately, but that's your future and it works. These guys just bought themselves a few
years. What are you trading up? What are you using to trade up, and
next
where
year,
are you trading up to?
I got
to?
Picks for days. I got tick picks for days.
You got what
I
got for days? What did you say?
I got ticks.
You said picks.
I said
right?
picks. Yeah.
Picks,
I got,
and, picks
I got,
and ticks.
I got picks.
Is that
from,
it, or is there something
picks
else?
From next year. I got picks from 2023, 2024. I trade them all. They're going to move up, and they're going to take another quarterback, and
they're going to
they're
have...
going to hope that that is the that it works,
okay.
And the offense
so,
is better.
So then that will actually. That will support my theory from, was it yesterday? I forget. Yes, it was yesterday. That don't be shocked as well if this thing is just a one-year deal going forward, the 2000. If what you just described is actually the path they take, they ain't firing anybody after 2021. Because you're not going to allow a general manager to move up in the draft, mm-hmm. use draft mm-hmm. currency to pick his guy.
The Bears may.
Another chance to draft that guy.
Well, ask yourself.
And then you're going to give him, they're going to show him the door afterwards.
Ask yourself this. What would their football guy say?
Their
football guy is Ryan Pace, and Ryan Pace wants to keep his job and stay employed because he knows he's not going to get another GM job after this. So he's going to trade up and try to get a quarterback to extend his life.
Okay, but my point is if that's the case, this is not a win or else 2021. Would the what you just presented
but
there...
But you're using common sense now, and the Bears, like you always say to me, why would you use common sense with the Bears? I could see them trading up everything for a quarterback. And then
getting rid of these guys?
Yes, yes. And then matching up a new coach who has to like this new quarterback
100%.
Because
with
the old regime drafted
him. With a new general manager that also has to like
you
that pick as well?
You know how they do it.
They did it with Pace and John Fox.
That's why this didn't make sense to bring it back this year.
The Pace and John Fox thing is different because Pace was in the beginning of his tenure. Okay? You're talking about year 7 of his tenure. It's a different environment. And maybe, as I said before, if he would have collaborated with his head coach and his quarterback coach, they would have not gotten themselves in this business because his big collaboration poop fest about how that's the most important thing. If you would have collaborated with that coach that you didn't like, who would have told you that Deshaun Watson was the best quarterback, and the offensive coordinator that you didn't like, who also had Deshaun Watson as the guy to pick, and your quarterback's coach, whoever it was, that would have, if you would have collaborated with those guys, you wouldn't be in this mess.
Eric in Elmwood Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eric?
How you doing, boys? Piggybacking off of Adam, these guys want to keep their jobs. I could see Ryan Pace. You're talking about how the Bears are going to somehow get Deshaun Watson if he stupidly agrees to be traded to Chicago. They're going to overpay, just like they did for Jimmy Graham, just like they did to trade up for Mitch Trubisky. If the overall consensus is three first-round draft picks, what's to say this man up there isn't going to go, oh, three? No, we'll do four, and we'll give you a couple second-round picks, and, well, you want Khalil Mack, too? We'll throw him in. Hey, why not? My job's on the line. I need a quarterback so I can get an extension and say, hey, look it, we got the franchise quarterback now. Now I can actually do my job that I should have done to begin with. So I just, it's going to be another 7 years of hell of just.
It is.
This guy doesn't, you know. I mean, exactly. If we're lucky, because in this draft alone, he could set us back another 5 to 7 years.
Well, what they're going to
on top of the five years that he's already done.
What they're going to sell you on,
Eric,
is that now the general manager has the guidance of the head coach who was in on the Kansas City evaluation, and they got it right.
Where's Andy Reid, though? Where's Brett Veach?
You know, these are all good questions.
I mean, all good questions.
I'm just saying.
I need those guys.
Yeah,
I don't need Nagy.
Of course.
I need Veach. I need Dorsey.
Listen,
where's he?
I guess the moral of this story is that this is not going to be an easy process. As you laid out in the first 10 minutes of the show, you've got competition from people that have more to give up and more competence in the area of evaluating quarterbacks.
I think the competition is harsher to get a quarterback this offseason than it was to make the playoffs, because I think they showed you that you could be average and make the playoffs. You can't be average and compete with these teams and get a good quarterback. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Joe and Worth, we'll start with you. There's also some people who are now starting to say, now yesterday this wasn't the case, so I was a little down. Some people are starting to put the Bears in a position that, hey, watch out for them in the Watson sweepstakes. We'll get into that next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
So I read some articles yesterday about the Bears not being on the list, that there's other teams who have better stuff to trade. And then there's the fact that Deshaun Watson may not even approve a trade to the Bears.
Yeah.
So you can vote online on my Twitter poll question. It's brought to you by our local Chicagoland Toyota dealers.
Is he not approving the trade because he doesn't believe it's the best destination for him? Is he not approving the trade, hypothetically, because he's holding a grudge against the organization that didn't draft him in 2007?
Could be any of those. Could be. It could be, like, if you don't want to buy Abdallah's theory that he's petty and he doesn't want to say, hey, Ryan Pace, I'm not saving you now, then maybe he just says, look, they remind me a lot of the Texans as it is. They don't protect their quarterback. They've got a weird president who's running the team, and they have a coach and a general manager whose jobs aren't guaranteed.
That's all fair analysis. I'm just saying, like, I don't believe that he makes a decision like that because of a grudge. That's
so
all I'm saying.
This poll question, nearly 5,000 voters, it's nearly 50-50. This is like Vegas, what Vegas would want. 50.4% saying yes, he would approve a trade. 49.6% saying no.
But there is also, there's no nuance to that, because if you added the conversation, if you said to me, if I voted no, he wouldn't approve the trade for all of the reasons you just mentioned, I could understand that. I'm just not in the camp that believes that he would do it for reasons of pettiness.
Well, Sylvie, you can do the Twitter voice, because the response that I've gotten when I say, why would Watson come here when they wouldn't even work him out or go to dinner with him in the first place, and now all of a sudden they want what? They want the mulligan, they want the
do-over. They made a mistake.
They want the mistake. Is the response that I get from people on Twitter is that, well, this is the charter franchise, and he has the chance to be the best quarterback ever for the best franchise in the NFL. And I just don't think that NFL players see the Bears as the like, they don't know the history like we know the history.
But I,
you
know what I mean?
They don't care.
That
yeah,
would,
no,
you
right,
know what I mean? But I don't
that
think
that would be my reason.
But
for...
I don't think Deshaun Watson's sitting there being like, well, I could be on the charter franchise. Like, this isn't the Bulls.
Right,
like,
I got you. And I'm with you there. I don't believe that. The same way I don't believe that if it was the best opportunity for him to win a title, he's going to say, I'm not going there because they didn't draft me.
Look, if they had stud wide receivers and a great offensive line and it was all, literally the only thing they were missing was Deshaun, was the quarterback, and he was like, okay, that's a good situation, good defense,
right,
stud wide receivers protecting me on the offensive line, but all right, I'll get past them not taking me to dinner.
Yeah,
they don't have any of those things.
That's my point.
Yeah,
that's my point, is that there are plenty of other reasons other than pettiness and grudges for him to say, if given the opportunity, I'd rather go elsewhere.
I want to play you some audio here in a minute. What about this? Someone asked us for a nickname for Pace and Nagy. What about for Pace? And it has to do with the caller early. And I was just thinking that it would be so Pace to not get him with a third overall pick when you could have gotten him and you didn't have to trade up to two to get him. And now that he'll give up like three first-round picks and everything, he overpays for everything. Why don't we just call him Over Pace?
Why don't we call him Rob Deer because he swings and misses all the time?
Come on. You didn't even give it a look. Overpace.
No, I got it. I get the play on words.
Overpace.
But Over's not a name.
Yeah, I'm just looking for a nickname.
Okay.
Overpace. He's Overpace. I don't know. Here's Jeremy Fowler on Get Up today about the Deshaun Watson trade market.
Greeny, the floor would be three first-round picks at a minimum. And people I've talked to around the league are unanimous on this. And not only three first-round picks, but a high pick, which is why the New York Jets and Miami Dolphins get implicated so often, because they have the second and third pick in this draft, which, you know, the Texans could use to get their franchise quarterback and probably take some other pieces, too. You're thinking young, ascending players on rookie contracts with other teams. The Texans could look to acquire a emerging veteran with those three picks.
To be clear, the third pick in the draft, which the Dolphins have, is Houston's pick. That is a pick that they acquired in a trade from the Texans in the first place for Laramie Tunsil, so they would just be getting it back, which would be irrelevant but somewhat interesting. Meanwhile, what are people around the league speculating as far as the likeliest destination? What are you hearing would be the likely spots that he may wind up?
Well, we covered the Jets and Dolphins because they have the two first-round picks this year. They have the capital to do it, the cap space, all those things. But a couple sleepers for you, Greeny. Don't laugh. But the Chicago Bears. I know there are people in that building that are very high on Deshaun Watson. Even though they passed on him in 2017, GM Ryan Pace could maybe get a mulligan. They've never had a 4,000-yard passer there. They could finally change that. Carolina Panthers, I'm hearing, would gauge interest if he was indeed on the market. This is a team that wasn't completely sold on Teddy Bridgewater. They've sort of made that clear in the open. They have some cap space to do it. They could make it happen. Washington football team is another that's mentioned often as going to be busy this offseason trying to get their future quarterback. They believe their window is now.
But so Mitch outplayed him.
Oh, yeah. They crushed the Texans. Yeah. I love now that there's people inside the building who are fans of Deshaun Watson. Oh, now you're a fan of him.
I bet they're fans of Tom Brady as well.
They came in second, if you believe Dan Patrick.
Yeah, I mean, like, no, and I believe Dan Patrick. I'm just saying that I'm just saying real quick. I don't believe, I love what Jeremy Fowler has to say 99 times out of 100. I don't believe that the Bears have enough to give up that would put them on the same plane as some of the other teams.
Joe and Worth, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You.
So my thing is this, Trubisky, I know how much we've hated him all year, how much, I mean, we got the truthers, the haters. He's actually our biggest asset right now. We could trade him.
He's not on you. He's a free agent. Joe, he's a free agent. Well, he's not under contract.
So, no, even if we did put the franchise tag on him, we still couldn't do anything with that?
Let me ask you, let's play this out real quick, and then I'll get back to you, okay?
Yeah.
If you franchise him and you can't trade him, he's going to cost you $27 million.
I think it's more, isn't it? Is it 27 or is it more?
25,
I thought, didn't Dak get like 30-something on the
I guess you franchise? Could then rescind it at a certain time and not be on the hook for it. I don't know all the rules, but Like, I don't, Joe, that's not the really the concept of trying to find a way to have him in your control and trade him is really undoable. If that's a word.
Wow. Yeah, because I was going to say that to Sylvie's point, he was saying the two other teams that were looking for quarterbacks are the Patriots and the Saints. And I've heard from both sides that they like what Trubisky finished the year off with. It just stinks that we don't have him as a pawn now. I did not know that. So, yeah, thanks for letting me know, guys.
Sure. You got it, Joe. Think about this, Waddle. Can you play, speaking of the Saints, can you play with Cam Jordan? Maybe when we come back, you can play with Cam Jordan, who's an all-pro defensive end for the Saints. How when Rich Eisen asked him about the threat of Mitch. So when you say, silence like, the Saints are really.
Volumes.
Yeah, well, and then he, you know, he had more than silence.
Yes. Yes. What was it going to say about Trubisky? Like, who on enough, for your rationale is good, too, about, like, you'd be stuck with him. Who is going to say, first of all, it's suspect that anyone is going to sign Mitch to be their starter one, okay? Maybe to compete. Who is going to say, you know what I need? Not only do I need some Mitch, I need some Mitch at $30 million.
Yeah, amen.
Who's going to say that when you're saying, hey, guys, we franchised him. Do you want him now?
Right.
Who's going to say, yeah, I can't wait. I got to get Mitch at $30 million. Give me him. I'm going to give you something for that. Nobody.
Let's ask one of the top defensive ends in all of football who played against him in his most recent game and hear what his thoughts are.
Much of a conversation will be about Trubisky and his quarterback skills. Where does he rank for you in quarterbacks that you got ready for this season? Do you think he is a threatening quarterback in the NFL?
Can I plead the fifth?
Okay. Okay. I mean, so, like, listen, don't call him the hater. Don't call me the hater. The moment that they brought Ryan or Matt Nagy back was the final act in the Mitch Trubisky story here in Chicago, because you can't bring back a coach that doesn't trust the quarterback, which was on full display, not just in the final two games against the Packers and the Saints, but throughout the last couple of years. That won't work any longer, so you're going to have to find a different option.
Tim in Connecticut, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Timmy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you taking the call.
Sure.
First of all, Mitch Trubisky has more MVPs than Watson, Mahomes, Brady, and Manning. So let's not downplay the Nickelodeon award here, Steve. But
MVP.
But I feel like I'm on a little mini campaign here to save our sanity as Bears fans, and I feel like we just need to squash and put an end to the Deshaun Watson convo. I feel like it's just another thing giving.
I didn't do that. That wasn't me.
I got nervous that it was me.
I know it wasn't me. But I take his point. Like, I mean, I get it. We're going to the retort to that is we – a lot of people said, oh, you know what? Jay Cutler's never coming here and all that other stuff. I get all of that. I think this is different. I don't think the Bears do have enough to package to go get him. But it's a call that has to be made.
It should be discussed.
Absolutely.
No, that's all it is.
Yes.
Like, people get so offended when if you bring it up. You have this primetime quarterback who's already done unbelievable things, who could be available this year, and you need a quarterback, and you've never solved your quarterback position. Yeah, let's just forget Deshaun Watson.
Tim, who hung up on himself, called back.
All right, hey, Tim.
Yeah, so, hey, sorry, I didn't get to finish my point. I agree to that to some respect. I think just after years of being a Bears fan, there's a part of you that just looks at it, and you have an organization that looked at a 6-game losing streak and said collaboration's more important than winning, a point you guys brought up a bunch. And I know you mentioned the pettiness, but I do think there's a grain of truth there for Deshaun Watson. I mean, if we had let go of Ryan Pace, maybe, but I think that's a guy that didn't even give Deshaun a solid look. And I think there's got to be a level of disrespect there that any athlete would naturally feel. And then secondly, you know, he lost Hopkins. Now what is he going to come to the Bears and not have A-Rob? I mean, I love Mooney, but, you know, who's the number one receiver?
No, it's fair. Like, Tim, like, I'm buying that argument as to why he wouldn't come here. My point is if this situation was better and they had good quality offensive line with regard to protecting the quarterback and they had a couple of really good weapons, and it was the right spot for him and gave him a really good chance to win, I don't believe that he wouldn't come here because he wasn't drafted in 2017. Maybe he maybe he does have that grudge gene in him and he would do that. But I think it's more about what the Bears would have to offer both in a trade and in terms of whether or not they can win.
We'll continue to take your calls. I see Brian on the Dan Ryan, Billy in Lake Forest. We'll get to your calls next. I also want to bring this up, Waddle. I haven't told you about this. I want you to help me spend my money.
Oh, easy.
Okay? Someone wants my money, and it's a pretty good price. Is it worth it? We'll play that coming up next.
Now that you have a new health plan, you should plan to use it. Find helpful tips and more help at GetCoveredIllinois.gov. Your health coverage starts here.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Jeff Zorbo tweets, he says, on the Overpace nickname, he says, here's the nickname for Ryan Pace. He says, OPP, Overpay Pace. Every time he makes a move, draft pick, you guys can play. Are you down with OPP? Trademark it. Any better than Overpace? No?
I'll stick with yours. It's one less letter.
I think we're over
two
right now.
It's one less. It's one less word.
312-332-3776. Yeah, you got the Bears alumni zip up on. You're still wearing it very, very proudly. Yes.
Yeah, why wouldn't I? I love my team.
No, I'm not questioning it. I'm just looking at you in the Twitch chat. Yeah, it's my only...
I mean, it's only my, like, the 700th straight day that I wear it because it's good. Because I can zip it up. And then I can put a warm coat over top of it so I can maintain the correct temperature in my body is what it does.
I posted.
What's going on in there?
That's why I'm wearing this right now.
Right,
same logic. Yeah. Yeah. It's cold outside.
So I can take this off. Not only, how about this? It's like, what would be the best way to describe it? Like a zip up allows you can hear me. It allows you, the higher up you zip, it keeps your body temperature where you want it to be. Like, if you're hot, you unzip it a little bit, and your boobs get a little bit of air.
Yeah.
You get a little man boob air. You ventilate them. And then when it gets a little bit colder, guess what you do? You zip it back up. Like, it's the...
Don't rub them, though. Why are you rubbing them on camera?
Because they're mine. I'll rub them as frequently and as hard as I want to. I'm not coming over to your house to rub yours.
Yeah,
like, these are mine.
Is that a Miller Lite shirt, too, you got on today?
Yes, it is.
It looks like a nice one, too.
It is. Oh, it feels
really
so
nice,
good,
and soft.
Yeah. Listen, it's been years, if not a decade, since I put on a T-shirt that didn't feel like just a nice, soft cloth against my skin.
I won't take them. If someone offers me a T-shirt and it's not a soft T-shirt, I'll say keep it.
I won't even wear jeans I won't wear jeans that have that kind of harsh feel as well. Like, my jeans are almost like, they're almost like wearing joggers.
Yeah. Is it stretchy?
Yes.
You got the stretchy jeans?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they're not totally stretchy, but like the old school, you feel like you're wearing chaps instead of Levi's.
You're wearing some jeggings?
What are those?
Leggings, but they're jeans. They were big like
40 years ago.
No.
Too tight.
I don't like to be chafed and uncomfortable when I'm moving around. Like, I won't sacrifice comfort for fashion. That's something that maybe I would have been on the other side of this trade 20 years ago. But like right now, like, I very rarely, today's a day I'm actually wearing shoes that I have to tie. Usually it's shoes that I can just slip on.
It's like my kids, just easy on, easy off.
Hell yeah. I'm wiping boogers on the wall. I'm not doing my homework. I'm leaving the Legos on the floor. I'm throwing food against the wall.
I posted a picture on the on my Instagram page at Mark A. Silverman, and it was in tribute to John Lester the other day. My man love for John Lester, my man crush. I should say man crush, I guess, is a proper way to sum it up. And sure enough, in all the memories and all the old images I have, when I need like a picture of you, me, and Schwarber.
Yeah.
You, me, and you're always wearing the Bears alumni.
Yeah.
In every picture basically, that I go back on. There's a lot of it is Bears alumni.
If we're ever allowed out again, I'm going to be wearing the same damn thing.
Waddle's a cartoon character. He opens his closet and it's just five different.
Yes, I'm like Fred Flintstone. Yes.
Yeah.
No, I do have several of them and I've worn them in the past. I've got some nice gray ones that are actually thicker than this. I just love the concept of a zip up kind of like coverall. Yeah. Because
multiple wearing styles.
Yes, like it's very easy. I don't have to like pull it up over my head. I can barely get my left arm over my head anyway. Like this is easy. This is easy. Like if I could wear tearaway jeans, like sweatpants, you know the ones like when they introduce
the NBA players?
Yeah,
where they just rip them right off?
I'd do that too.
Brian on the Dan Ryan, you're on ESPN 1000. What are you wearing right now, Brian?
I'm in my work clothes, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What are your work clothes? Give us some details here.
Cargo pants, hooded sweatshirt.
Some pasties. You know.
It's comfort. No. Yeah, comfort, more or less.
Good.
But yeah, comfort is key. Yeah. And therefore, quarterbacks need to be comfort, and they need linemen. So the Bears need to draft linemen and not mortgage the future and like they did for Mac, and not have any people to put around talent. So why are we going to trade for Watson if they can't protect Watson?
You know, but what if we pass on a historically good quarterback at some point? Like the Bears passed on Joe Montana in the third round years ago out of Notre Dame because they needed to build other stuff. I'm not saying there's Joe Montana there, but I'm saying anytime you can land the quarterback and build from there. No?
But I mean, the four teams minus Tom Brady and the Bucs, all those quarterbacks are homegrown. And that's how you win in this league. You can't be going mortgage in the future for one guy because you don't win like that. Unless you have the picks like the Jets, like the Dolphins, but we don't. And therefore, you're going to do this all over again like you did for Mac, and we're going to be in the same place without any surrounding talent around.
Listen, it's a fair conversation, Brian. There's no doubt that you're in such need of different things, and if you give up, whether it's your whatever cap space you have and you draft currency, how are you going to address the other issues? It's not ideal, but I'd make the trade for the quarterback and then try to mix and match with the other guys. That's the path I would take because right now you're just hoping that you're going to hit on a quarterback, and the guy that's been in charge and drafting and otherwise hasn't been able to do that. You take the risk out of the equation in a lot of ways by bringing in a 25-year-old proven commodity.
Great call so far. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Billy, we'll start with you. We're 2 minutes away. We'll do it coming up next.